All right. Wasn't that a blessing? I'll tell you, that is so exciting. I love, love, love this day. John chapter 15. I'm going to read one verse. John 15 and verse 5. The Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Did you see? I mean, seriously, nothing. Doesn't say you can do some things. Well, you just can't do as much. No, he says, without me, ye can do nothing. Father, please bless now the preaching of thy word. We do thank you so much for the program we just had. Certainly, it causes us to think about heaven. And as we think about heaven, we're reminded Jesus is the only way to heaven. But then, Lord, after that, our lives, without him, we're nothing. We can do nothing. And so I pray you'll help us with that today and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. And I want to challenge you with this verse. I was thinking about our shepherd's ministry. And when you think about the shepherds, you recognize that most of them need somebody to help them. They are dependent on somebody. It could be a loved one. It could be a relative. I'm just curious, how many of you are related to or a loved one of our shepherds? You're a relative, all right? We have many that are here. You're a relative of someone in our shepherd's ministry, and you help them with various things. How many of you are guardians to one of the shepherds? Okay, several are guardians. You take care of different things for them, financially, hospital, doctors, all of that. And so we have that. I think about the key to a ministry like the shepherd's ministry in our church is recognizing somebody is going to have to help them. They're not going to be able to. It's just like, I don't know how many people were involved just in getting the shepherd's ministry, getting the dear folks down these steps. They have to have some help. Some have handicaps that are physical. Some have some mental handicaps. And so somebody has to help them. They're dependent on people. You know, when Janet Gilbert started having her physical problems and that, we recognized that, wow, that lady does a lot in the shepherd's ministry. They just count on her being there week after week. Because she does so much, and the shepherds, they are dependent on people. And I immediately thought about what God is telling us in his word here, how without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. You know, if you would think about your life without Jesus, and that's the title of the message, Life Without Jesus, do you realize you can't do anything? It'd be like if what a terrible thing to do if we just some of these that really struggled getting down, we just decided to leave and walk away, and they were still up here and they wouldn't know what to do. They couldn't do anything. Or some of these dear ladies that were in wheelchairs up here, we just walk away and just say, okay, well, you know, that's life without Jesus. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. I mean, boy, when I think about that, I realize how dependent we really are upon the Lord. Life without Jesus. And I want to challenge you. I'm not going to keep you real long. We usually don't on Shepherd Sunday. But I want to challenge you with that statement, life without Jesus. What would our lives be like without Jesus? Oh, you say, well, I'm not saved, and I don't care about those things, and I've still got a job. And you know what God says? He says, you can't do anything without Jesus. Oh, you may make money, but it's for nothing. You may have a job. You may have a house. You may have all kinds of things, but it's all for nothing. Because he said, without me, if you leave him out, there's just nothing. There's nothing. Father, bless now as I preach your word. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for our shepherds, how they remind me of our own lives without you. God, I just so often, they bring joy to my heart. And it's such a blessing to be able to help out and to be with them. And then it just causes me to realize without you, I'm nothing. I have nothing. I can't do anything. Challenge us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I suppose I learned this truth when I was younger, and Christmas came, and we got toys and things that required what? Batteries. I don't care how expensive the toy was. I'm trying to think of some different toys that I had. I the one thing I think about is my Major Matt Mason. How many of you remember that? Major Matt, okay, you remember G.I. Joe's? All right, I'm talking about the tall G.I. Joe, the real ones. Well, real, the real G.I. But anyway, but I remember those, you know, you get the neatest truck that came with that, or maybe a tank or something like that, and that, especially the Major Matt Masons, because you could push a little button and a laser thing would go off, and it was really something. But I remember, you know, how many Christmases I would get that neat item, that toy that everybody's got to have. And boy, I'd be so excited, open that thing up and get that out of the box, and I'm all excited, and no batteries. And it's like, okay, this thing is basically worthless without batteries. It's kind of like your cell phone when it's not charged. Right. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it is when you start to realize how dependent even the most expensive items are on something. They're dependent. I remember I got my first dirt bike, a Kawasaki, and I used to ride in the woods and race a little bit on the different tracks around the house and that, and we had a great time. And I remember having it all fixed up and ready to go, and I had my leather gloves and my my expensive helmet and all that, and you know, how many days was I ready to go out and ride with my friends, and I was all excited and had this nice bike and nice trails and everything. And then realize that I had no gasoline. You know, do you understand how worthless that bike was without gasoline? I don't care how much you spend on your car. It doesn't matter unless it's one of those electric cars. You know, nowadays we can talk about that. But you can have a real fancy car that costs thousands and thousands of dollars, but it's dependent on what? Gasoline. You know, you can have a beautiful home, and it can have all these fancy doodads and everything, but if you don't have electricity, you're going to miss out on a lot. Fancy appliances, same thing, you know, all these fancy things we can have. So we recognize that in life, most of our lives, it's dependent on something or somebody else. We recognize that we have to have oxygen. And seriously, now I'm not going to tell you to go out and hug a tree or anything, but you ought to be a little bit thankful because the trees give off oxygen so that we can breathe, you know, and the more trees, the more oxygen. But let's be honest, the trees ought to hug us because we give off what they need, carbon dioxide, and they need that. And so again, we are all kind of dependent on one another. And though man may deny it, man is totally dependent on God. I mean, if you ever think about the tilt of our earth, if you think about how close we are or how far we are from the sun, if you think about, you know, 1 degree means we'll either burn up or we'll freeze to death, and it's just perfect. You know, all those folks that talk about evolution, you talk about the biggest amount of luck in the world it would take for everything to happen like it did. You know, what a ridiculous idea that everything just happened. You know, there is a God in heaven, an intelligent God who put it all together. He makes it all happen. It all turns like it's supposed to turn. The sun shines. Well, in Michigan, it's about to quit shining, but it'll come back. And all of that happens because God has planned it that way, and God has it all completely under control. But we depend on God. We breathe because God lets us breathe. We eat because God lets us eat. We drink because God lets us drink. We have health or don't because of God. We're totally, completely dependent on God. And Jesus tells us here that without Christ, we can do nothing. We already know because of the Bible that without Jesus, we all would die and go to hell. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The shepherds talked about heaven and included in that John chapter 14, which clearly tells us that there's only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It's not through Berean Baptist Church. It's not through our baptistry. It's not through the halls of our buildings. It's not through our parking lot. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how you get saved. You call upon Jesus to save you, and he saves your soul, and you can't be saved apart from him.
It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. We cannot work enough to save ourselves. He did the work when he died on the cross to pay for our sins. Think about it. Such a powerful verse, though. And I guess I assume I'm preaching to mostly Christian people this morning. And I think what he talks about, he said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I think about a bush that doesn't have the vine feeding it and giving it all that it needs, and therefore it just kind of sits there without any fruit. I think about a fruitless life. I think about a life that so many Christians, sad to say, have because they just don't abide in Jesus Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. I think of so many homes that are a mess today because they've left God out of the equation. I think about so many people on the job that they leave God out of their business, out of their job. And without me, he said, you can do nothing. I think about so many churches today. You say, oh, well, church would never leave. Oh, so many just kind of push Jesus out of the way. You know, it's kind of like the average person today, even in America. Christmas isn't Christmas, it's Xmas. And literally, they've X'd Jesus right out of that. So many have done that. I think about the lives of people today that just don't realize that without him, they can do nothing. It's like having a $50,000 car without gasoline. It's kind of like what we just experienced this last summer when the city of Toledo had their water problem. Remember that? And all these beautiful restaurants, fancy restaurants. I mean, you can go in there and get the best meal in town. Problem is, they had to close. Why? They didn't have any water. Yeah. You know, it seems like we would understand that there are so many things we're dependent on, but we don't realize how dependent we are on Jesus until we look around and we say, you know what? My life really, there isn't much. There isn't much. And I've got news for you. We need Jesus in our life. Life without Jesus, number one, we need Jesus in our life. He said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Most of us, it's not that way. We seek anything and everything else. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. We want to seek all these things. We want to look for all the things. But he said, wait a minute. First, seek me. We need Jesus in our life. Proverbs 3, verse 6, familiar verse. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In what ways? All thy ways. Do you acknowledge him in all your ways? I'm talking about day in, day out. I'm talking about when you get up in the morning. Do you acknowledge God? God, this is a day that you made. This is a day for me. You made. Help me to walk where I'm supposed to walk and do what I'm supposed to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Do you acknowledge him at work? Do you let everybody know, hey, the Lord is helping me on my job. The Lord is blessing me. The Lord gave me this job. I'm amazed how many people will beg and plead God for a job and then never acknowledge God after they get the job. In fact, they tend to ignore God after the things they ask for, they receive. We need Jesus in our lives. Without me, he said, ye can do nothing. Nothing. It's like an intelligent young man who doesn't take advantage of the education that he's been given. It's like an athlete who's a great athlete, but he never pursues anything. His talent is not being used. It's for a Christian, and we would all say, oh, what a shame that is. But it's more of a shame when people don't recognize that God, he is the vine. We are the branches, and we need the vine. It is more of a shame, the potential that we have, because the vine is Jesus Christ. The life, the sustenance, the power is in Jesus. And we just kind of walk our way and do our own thing. We never pray. We don't read our Bibles. We hit and miss church. And it's amazing how we somehow think, well, it'll all work out. Oh, it may work out. but it'll never be what it could be and what it should be. Without Christ, he said, without me, ye can do nothing. And therefore, you know, when I think about that verse, I think, well, the opposite must be true then. What's that? Well, with Christ, it must be something. It must be really good. You know, it must be really, really, really good. How many messes would you not be in if you would have included Jesus? If you'd have just prayed, come on, think about all the messes we get in. I know my messes that I've been in. I know some of the things that I've done, some of the things that just, boy, it's like, why didn't that work out? And then I think, well, you know why it didn't work out. And how many times can we all say that, you know, if I'd have just prayed about it, if I'd just read my Bible, if I'd have just done what he said, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, I'm going to do what God says I ought to do, and I know he's going to bless. But we kind of leave him out because, well, we somehow have the perception he's not fun. You know, that's one of the reasons, and I've said this for many, many years, that the shepherd's ministry, these folks, they believe that Jesus loves them and he's going to take care of them. And so fun is never a problem. Worrying is not, it's so different many times when I preach to the shepherds. Very seldom do they look at me like, yeah, sure. They're looking at me like, I know that. That's true. And the toughest crowd for me to preach to is not the shepherd's ministry. The toughest crowd is folks that somehow think we can get along without him. Because we can't. We need him. Our very existence depends on him. Our church has learned through a major trial of this past year of a roof leak and some different situations and recognized so many times how we need him. It's not people. It's not all the people. It's not money that they have. It's never about that. It's always about him. It's always about him. Our very existence, our spiritual growth, it depends. You say, well, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ. I got baptized. I've been a Christian for years. And yeah, but is there any fruit on your branches? Is there any proof of your Christianity in your life? Has anything happened? What prayer can you say God's answered in your life? What miracle has God done for you? What has God done? Have you had him in your life? So many live without him. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. We leave him out of our decisions. We leave him out of our lives in so many ways. We just kind of go on our way. And he said this clearly, listen to me, for without me, ye can do nothing. We must have him because life without Jesus is nothing. We need him in our lives. Number two, we need Jesus on our job. Whatever you do, you say, well, you're the pastor of the church. We know you need him. You definitely, wait a minute. If you work for GM, you need him. If you have your own business, how in the world could anybody have their own business and not say, well, I think I can do all right? You can't do all right. You need Jesus. In our world today, and we watch some of the things that are going on, and we say, what in the world is this all about? If anything, you need Jesus Christ today to help you. I've often said that the best illustration of trusting God, it has to be the farmer. It has to be the farmer. You know, James talked about the patience of the farmer. And you know, you think about a farmer, he plants that seed in the ground, and you know, it's done. It's up to God now. And that seed, you know, it could either drown or it could have a drought and be done. It could rise up out of that ground and hail could destroy it like that, one storm. Do you understand? I mean, it could be over so quickly. But it's the same way with anybody, any job that you have, and we should have figured this out from these last few years in Michigan. I mean, somebody could say, oh, you know, everything's going great, and overnight, everything's not so great. And you have a house, and your house is, you know, you say, boy, I've got equity in my home, and boy, we're doing real well. And it's and overnight, you not only don't have equity, it's not worth what you paid for it, just overnight. And we scratch our heads and say, well, I just didn't figure that out. But you have to understand there was one who already knew that. Jesus. We need him. We need him on the job. We get this idea that, well, you know, if somebody's called to be a missionary, well, they would need him. Or somebody's a pastor, they certainly need him. Or somebody's on the church staff, like Brother Tim, he would really need him. And you know, all these people, they're going to really need him. But wait a minute. It's a lot bigger than that, folks. Because no matter what you do, no matter what your job, no matter where you are, you've got to lean on Jesus. If you're a preacher, a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, a mechanic, a farmer, a secretary, it doesn't matter how good you are, how talented you are, you need Jesus in your life, no matter what you do. You could be like a Corvette without gasoline. Well, I'm trained. I've got all these degrees. I can do this. I can do that. But I got news for you. Without Jesus, he said you can do nothing. You need him. So why don't you start the day off in prayer? Why don't you start the day off reading his word? Why don't we? Because somehow we get the idea, hey, I got this thing figured out. We need Jesus in our life. Number two, we need Jesus in our jobs. Number three, we need Jesus in our home. Oh, so desperately today. The Bible says, look at it, Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127 and verse 1. This passage is one that we use often in counseling and talking to people about their home. And it is so true. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Notice, except the Lord build the house, their labor is what? It's in vain. Oh, we can do it. Yeah, you can do it. And the first puff of wind and it's going down. First little earthquake and it's gone. You know, you may be able to do it, but the first trial and it's out of here. I counsel couples before they get married. You've got to make your marriage not two, but three. Jesus Christ has got to be in the center of your home or you will fail as so many do. It says, verse 2 of Psalm 127, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. I don't know about you, but if your home and what's going on in your family and all that, if it's causing you all kinds of grief night after night after night, seems to me like you'd feel a whole lot better being able to give it to Jesus and just sleep. Amen. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That's how it's supposed to be. Yeah. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Well, I guess all kids are just a bunch of rebels today. They don't have to be. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Boy, there's the average home today would say, oh, my kids have caused me nothing but trouble. Yeah, but except the Lord build the house. Oh, folks, we need Jesus in our homes. Eli the priest tried without the Lord in his home. He let his boys, Hophni and Phinehas, do their own thing instead of doing what God said to do. He let them do their own thing and he lost them. Christ needs to be in the center of our homes. You may succeed without him for a while, but he said, without me, you can do nothing. And it's going to end up being a failure. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We need him in our homes, folks. We need him in our lives. We need him on our job, but we need him in our home. Desperately, he's needed in your home. Dad, look, swallow your pride. I've got to have Jesus. Get on your knees and say, oh, God, I need you. I need you to be so I'm the best husband I can be, so I'm the best dad that I can be. God, we need you in our home. We need you in our home. Would to God the people here at Berean Baptist Church would just say, we are going to have a revival of Jesus in the home. Turn off the dumb television and spend time with God as a family, have Jesus in your home. Because without me, he said, ye can do nothing. And then not only do we need Jesus in our lives and on our job and in our home, but number four, we need Jesus in our church. Now that sounds silly. Oh, well, preacher, come on. I mean, every church. Do you understand that if seriously, if the Holy Spirit were removed from the world today, if it were to take place, a lot of churches would go right on. They haven't included the Lord in years. And again, it's not the organization called the church, it's individuals. And as we leave him out of our lives, as we leave him out of our homes, then we, as the people who are the church, eventually he's pretty much left out of the church. I don't know how many churches today, they Christmas comes and nothing's said about Jesus' birthday. It's all about what we're going to get this person, that person. We scramble around trying to find, well, this staff member, that person. Let's do a white elephant thing, and people bring goofy things and all that kind of stuff. But nobody ever says, hey, what about Jesus? What do we do for him? And it just goes all the way down, all through the year, not just Christmas, but all the time. It's like we don't even consider what would Jesus do. We need him in our church. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. The question today is our church his? Because it's not his if we're doing it without him. If we're not sticking to the old King James Bible, if we're not doing what it says, then we are trying to do something without him. We cannot run one bus without him. We dare not have one service without him. We should not, and it would be a crime to ever take up an offering without him being over the whole thing. People may come, people may, and we may have big buildings and all of that, but the Bible is the word of God that says, especially in the last days, there would be a form of godliness denying the power thereof. And all it becomes is a form. Let's not be a form of godliness. Let's be a group of people that says day in and day out, Lord, we need you. We need you in our lives. We need you in our jobs. We need you in our day-to-day living. We need you in our homes. And God, we need you in our church. I'd hate to even ask, so I won't ask, and we won't have a show of hands, but I wonder how many prayed for the shepherd's service today. I mean, I actually took time out and prayed. You know, I walked up here and several, they said, I'm really nervous. I'm really nervous, preacher. And I thought, you know, I just wonder how many of our folks actually prayed. Oh, well, you know, it goes every year and we do it all the time. But you have to understand, this is an important thing. And if we do it without Jesus, we just wasted our time. Oh, but we were entertained. We thought it was pretty good, but it didn't do anything. Something is supposed to happen. I promise you, these folks, many of them, because I know because they tell me, they have people they pray for. And they have people maybe sitting out here right now. They want to see you get saved. Yeah. And Berean Baptist Church folks, understand, listen. This is one opportunity for their loved ones to come and hear how to be saved. Amen. You say, well, I just expected it to come and go, and it's always nice and cute, but you could have prayed. Oh God, we have shepherds here that this is their big day. Let it be special for them. And if somebody comes that loves them, let them hear about Jesus. Because that's what they want. But we need to pray for all our services. I don't ever want to be just a form of godliness denying the power of God. If we don't depend on him, then we have nothing. It could be buildings and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if we're a Corvette, but maybe we're a Cadillac. Amen? Amen. But without gasoline, we can do nothing. We just sit. Just sit and do nothing. Like a toy without a battery. We need him. You know, if you don't depend, you come to church, there's no joy, there's no thrill, there's no excitement. Have you thought maybe you're kind of just going through motions? Hey, is it that way with life? Because I'll be honest with you, as a Christian, I'm pretty excited. I'm studying, we're going through the book of Revelation, and we're, you know, I'm on the section about the destruction of Babylon. And I'll be honest, there's not a whole lot of thrilling things in that. I mean, it is thrilling. We win, but I've known that for a long time. I've read the book all the way through. So I'm excited about winning, but the truth is, you know, it's not that, but I'm just thrilled because I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and God loves me and He blesses me and He has so many things for me. And I wonder, as I talk to folks sometimes, it's like you miss that. And I kind of wonder if we're not just kind of going through the motions. Going through the motions without Him. Because we need Him in everything we say and do. We need Jesus. I hope that you will stop and think today. And you know, it's one of the things that the shepherds, now some do not have mental problems as much as others. Some do. Some are like a child. But you know what I've noticed with our children? When you say Jesus loves you, that they'll sing that song louder than anything. Jesus loves me, this I know. That thrills their soul. They're excited. We have on Wednesday nights, we'll have children, they come in from our master clubs, and we'll have maybe 100 children sitting out here, and we'll take favorites, and we sing different kinds of songs. Sometimes they pick it right out of the hymn book. Sometimes they'll want to sing Jesus Loves Me, and I'll look out, and a couple adults kind of, that's a kid song. That's not a kid song. That's an adult song. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're trying to live your life without Him, then I could see why you'd think that might just be for the children. But one of the things that thrills my soul when I get up in the morning is Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones and big ones and old ones and bald ones. And we are weak. But He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. But you see, it's because in the morning I say, hello, Lord. It's because in the morning I open up my Bible and read it. And in the morning I try to talk to Him. Sometimes 2, 3 o'clock in the morning I talk to Him because He never sleeps. Today you've got some problems. You've got some needs. You've got some things that are bothering you, some things that worry you, some things that concern you. By the way, you should be concerned as you just read your newspaper. There's stuff out there. You're thinking about Ebola. We're talking about the senior trip just recently, and I said something to my wife about where we'd be flying to take our seniors on their senior trip, and she said something about wearing a mask, and people are wearing sheets and covering themselves and all that because of the Ebola thing, you know. And the truth of the matter is, how would you protect yourself? You're going to just lock yourself in your home? You say, don't scare me more than I already. Okay, how about this? Jesus, you know about that thing. You know about those little wiggly things they keep showing us and the microscopic doohickeyses that do whatever they do. He does, doesn't He? Now, I'm not saying just go out there and breathe in Ebola. I don't think you ought to look for it, but I think you ought to trust Him and start your day with Him. Because without Him, we're nothing. We can do nothing. Your life, your job, your home, your church. We need Him. We desperately need Him. I couldn't help but think as I was actually carried a fellow down the steps. I thought, how would he have gotten down without us there? And then I thought, how would I even get up in the morning? How would I go through a day without Him? Without Him. Oh, how many times throughout the day does He just pick me up and have to carry me down the steps? How many times does He have to wrap His arms around me and give me that comfort that only He can give? If you're without Him today, you're missing out. But more than that, you can do nothing. Let's bow our heads, please.